Good morning, good morning, good morning, Impact. Good morning. Oh, come on, give me a little bit better than that. I said, good morning, Impact. Now, I know this is the Sunday after, you know, Easter, and everyone likes to kind of take a deep breath, be like, oh, okay, that's past. But I got news for you. We celebrate this resurrection every day. We celebrate the fact that Jesus got up every single day, praise God. So watch this. Just like we were excited on last week, we still excited this week. I got anybody else that's excited? I got anybody else in expectation on this morning? Come on, throw up your hands in expectation. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you and we honor you and we expect great things from you in Jesus' name. We say welcome to everyone, those that are online, Facebook, YouTube, as well as our website. For those of you on Facebook, certainly want to apologize. Last week, we recognized we had an issue. It wasn't on our side. It's something that Facebook has been doing to us periodically, where it's been pausing and muting some of our worship experience because they think we are violating some copyright issues. We pay for licensing for every song and everything that we do here. So unfortunately, on last week on Facebook, they muted and kind of paused things, and it took them a few days before they recognized that, oh, okay, you all were fine. So we're working through, you know, particular issues. If something like that ever happens again, you're watching on Facebook, please just go ahead and shoot over to our app. It's good to have, you know, the Impact Church of South Florida app on your phone anyway. But then if something like that happens, just shoot over to the app, and that way you can be able to still, you know, catch, you know, the message and the service. And the app is good to have, too, because we have, you know, old messages on there. As a matter of fact, every message that is ministered, it gets uploaded on there just a couple of days later, so you can always go right there and just catch the message content only. So definitely want to encourage you to do that. And then you heard during the announcement a couple of things. One, our first Wednesday is not this Wednesday, but the following. So be ready, but not this one. You're going to be, let's say, May the 4th. That's what it is. May 4th, that's the first Wednesday that we will be still dealing with this thing called the church. So be ready for that. Next week, though, I'm starting a series called One People. Now, this in particular is going to deal with some of the issues that we see going on in our society in terms of racism, sexism, and the like. And how does God respond to this? Because in some circles, if you don't watch it, they use scriptures to pretty much, validate what they're doing in terms of, in some cases, racism. Some cases, sexism. Well, what does God say? You know, I was reading some particular things, you know, I don't know, a few months back. There's various types of theology that are out. One of them is, you know, liberation theology, which is really kind of an offshoot of what is called black theology. And the heartbeat of some of the founders of black theology was just simply looking at the God of the Christian God must be a white supremacist. I said, huh, that's an interesting take. Well, we want to investigate into that to see, is the God, you know, you serve, I serve a white supremacist? Is the God you serve, I serve a black nationalist? We want to look into it. So we're going to spend a few weeks, you know, in the month of May dealing with, you know, subject matters, you know, on this so we can, again, see what God says about it. Hosea made it real clear in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. People just don't know. Everybody gets on social media now and says whatever. And I got news for you. A lot of the stuff on social media is absolute garbage. We on social media right now. We're not the garbage, though. But a whole lot of what's on there. So you got to be very careful about what you start drinking on that. But we'll be back to that. Someone say, I'm ready. Yes, indeed. Today, though, just felt led to deal with something. And I hope you've been catching the whole theme just here in the early part of the service. Just the songs that we've been singing, things that we've been talking about. Of building our lives upon God. Last week, we were talking about, again, just knowing how to make sure that the stone is rolled away. There is no resurrection until the stone is rolled away. And the stones have to be rolled away in our lives so that the beauty and life of Christ can shine through. So now that that has happened, how do we grow? How do we continue to build our lives upon his love? Well, let's get into a little bit of that. Father, we thank you for your continued presence. Thank you for wisdom and clarity and instruction today. Thank you, Daddy, for hearts that are open, ears that are spiritually alert and attentive, dear God. Father, may there be divine truth deposits, praise God, grace impartations on today, Father, that causes great transformation in you. We love you, Lord God, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout glory. Come on, find somebody next to you and just high-five them. Or if they're not next to you, just kind of give them one of them distant fives like this. Be like, it's good to see you in the house. Going to begin here in Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. It says, this is what the Lord says. Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power, or the rich boast in their riches. But those who wish to boast should boast in this alone. Now, watch this. To some degree, all of us like to boast a little bit on different things. I like to mess with one of my sons because for whatever reason, he wants to be a Nets fan and they're taking an absolute beating right now. So we boast a little bit. Others, you know, wind up being, you know, Cleveland Cavalier fans. I don't understand why. So we boast a little bit. So there's some boasting that you can have fun with, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what God is talking about here is kind of how we build our lives. Do we trust more, have more confidence in our wisdom, our intellect, our education, our riches, our power and ability? He says, listen, you can have all that, and it's great that you have it because I blessed you with it. He says, but don't boast in that. So if you're going to boast in this one thing alone, that they, someone say me, truly know me and understand that I am the Lord who demonstrates unfailing love and who brings justice and righteousness to the earth and that I delight in these things. He says, if you're going to boast in something, God says, boast in the fact that you know me. Boast in the fact that you know me and know that I'm the Lord and I demonstrate my unfailing love. Watch this. I always come through. It says, know that. So if you're going to boast in anything, boast in the fact that you know what? I don't know how this happened. All I know is God is good unto me. I don't know how that got paid. All I know is God is good unto me. I don't know. The doctors couldn't figure it out. That's all right. All I know is God is good unto me. Let your boasting forever rest in the fact that you know him. Now, we started off this year talking about the fact that this is a season now of miraculous interventions where we're expecting for God to just kind of jump in and interrupt the natural order of things in our lives to get to us exactly what it is he has promised. And see, now when you start to boast, that's what you want to boast in. The fact that, you know what, my God is good. Watch this. He loves me. He always, not sometimes, not most of the times, he always comes through for me. And even when sometimes it looked like it's going left, he knows how to supernaturally jump in and turn it right. That's the God that we serve. So we want to begin to look at something on today. We're going to spend some time right here in 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to spend some time and look into a little bit of this. I love this passage talking about the prophet Elijah. Verse 1 says this. Now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, the God I serve. Come on, someone say it with me. The God I serve. Says there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word. Now let me help you right here something with your theology. Because a lot of times, you know, songs and different things will tell us that, you know what, God has the final word. Well, God has spoken, you know, the word. But whether his word comes to pass in your life depends more upon what you say than what he said now. Will you line up with what he said? Or let's say it this way. Will you say what he says? Interesting here, Elijah told King Ahab, he said, it's not going to rain. Watch this. He didn't say it's going to rain, you know, when God decides it's going to rain. He says, the next time it rains is when I give the word. Elijah understood something about the authority that he had in being in relationship with God. See, if you're going to boast in something, boast in the fact that you know him. That's what we boast in. Verse 2 says, then the Lord said to Elijah, go to the east and hide by Kereth Brook, near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food. So Elijah, as the Lord told him, encamped. So as Elijah did, as the Lord told him, encamped beside Kereth Brook, east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. Come on, that's good living. Come on now. Come on now. Can you imagine you just going out to the beach? Come on, you go out Fort Lauderdale Beach, go out South Beach, wherever, whatever beach you like. You just go, and you don't take any supplies with you because, you know, in the morning, you know, the birds are bringing you, you know, your favorite chicken and waffles. Come on, another bird's bringing you a bottle of Perrier, you know, water, you know. Come on, I mean, you got some good living going on. It says this is what was happening for Elijah in the morning and the evening. Didn't have to worry about a thing. But then verse 7 says, but after a while, the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land. Now, isn't that interesting? After a while, the brook dried up because there was no rainfall. Why wasn't there any rainfall? Because Elijah hadn't said. Huh. So he's partly responsible for why his resource is dried up. Very interesting. But here's the thing that I want us to lock in on for a little bit. There are times when one resource that you may depend upon for years dries up and no longer provides you at the same level as it once did. Anyone ever been in that kind of experience before? It may have been a job. May have been just like what we are coming out of, just a pandemic season, and everything completely shifted, you know, where your economic, you know, landscape was concerned. Or maybe, you know, you're like a student or a young adult, and you were always kind of dependent upon mom or dad, and then they finally said, you know what, that's it. You got to make do on your own. How many of you know that those birds and that brook wasn't providing anymore? What do you do when something dries up in your life? And it can happen. And in this case, it happened to Elijah partly because of what he said. Interesting. Let's dig into this a little bit. The lesson to learn, you'll see this on the screen, is the one and only stable source for our lives is not what we can produce or resources that we enjoy as a recompense for our labor, knowledge, or expertise. Our source, the one and only stable source, is God alone through Christ. Someone say, God alone through Christ. That's the one and only stable source. This is the lesson now that God is in the process of teaching his prophet. He says, I had you in a particular place where you didn't have to do anything. I had the ravens bringing you food, bread, and meat, and I had a brook there that you could drink from. You could get all the water that you want. Man, you were doing good. But then all of a sudden, the brook dries up. Now, Elijah could have taken the position of, okay, what's wrong here? But he doesn't panic, and we'll see, you know, in the scripture, he does something that's very important. He continues to listen to God. Someone say, keep listening. A lot of times, we can make the mistake that we stop listening too fast. Come on now, where we got the instruction, and then we stop listening because, watch this, because people then get married to the ravens in the brook. And just like, what's going on? Where are my birds at? What happened to my brook? God doesn't love me anymore. Wait a minute. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it was never the birds or the brook. It was always the fact that God and God alone was Elijah's source. And that's what he wanted to make sure that he understood. God didn't get nervous when the supply ran dry for Elijah. Why? Because God lived, he lived then and he lives now in the revelation that Elijah's supply, your supply is not the birds or the brook. God's understanding is I'm your source. I'm the one who cares for you, and I'm the one that will always be there to provide for you. So whether a resource dries up or not, God says, I'm not nervous, and don't you get nervous. Because just like I got stuff to you through that resource, I'll create a whole new resource for you that will provide for you even greater. But you got to keep listening. Don't get off track on things. So let's take some time here to look further into this passage. Because we're going to notice how God is cultivating this truth into Elijah's heart. That Elijah is never really about the birds or the brook. It's always about me. Come on, someone say it's always about God. And really, in essence, what I like to see here is that he's teaching him how to build trust in him as the source. So I want you to understand, Elijah, I'm your source. And I'm going to demonstrate it, you know, for you. Because of your word, it's not raining. So therefore, now the brook dries up. Your fault. You're responsible. So, but don't be moved by that. You're just doing what I called you to do. And as long as you stay with me, I got all types of ways to be able to provide for you. All types of ways. God's got tens of trillions of ways to be able to get you and I what we need and what we desire. The question is, will we keep listening? Someone say it with me. Say, I'm listening. So let's look into this. How do we build trust in uncertain times? Verse 8 says this. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. Now, the brook dries up, so he can't get anything there. But Elijah understands this principle like what I'm talking about. He keeps listening to God. And God then tells him, says, I want you to go. I want you to go to a whole different village, whole different area. And I've instructed a widow woman there, watch this, to feed you. Now that is very, very unusual. But God can do what he wants to do in providing for you. Okay, I'm going to come over here. God can do what he wants to do in providing for you. It does not have to fit our sensibilities. I remember, you know, years ago, anybody ever been hungry before? You don't need to raise your hand. I'll raise my hand for anyone and everybody that's been hungry because I know I've been there. I never will forget, I was hungry. I was hungry. I wasn't married at the time, so I'm single. So that was a good thing because it was only me hungry. I wasn't, you know, transferring hunger onto other people, you know. So I'm hungry, not eating very well, you know, at all. And I'm losing weight. Now, right now, I'm 200 and something pounds. I don't know. Praise the Lord. But at this time, I'm about 170 pounds. Somebody said, 170, good Lord, Pastor. No, it was good. But then, you know, some time went by, and I started creeping towards 160. And someone came to me and was like, hey, you need something? I was like, huh? I was like, what are you talking about? Come on. You know how it is, you start acting dumb. Knowing good and well what they were talking about, because I've been praying and talking to God like, God, this ain't going to work like this. It's like, you need something? And then the person said it. Come on, they said it, and I just, why did you have to say it? It's like, are you hungry? Come on now, can we just talk? The sense of shame rose up. Sense of embarrassment rose up. And right there, looked at that person, you know, straight in their eyes, and I lied. And I said, no, I'm good. You know, and I go back home, and I'm crying to God, basically. He's like, what you want me to do? Oh, it's got to fit your sensibilities. You don't want anyone to know what you're going through? I quickly got over that pride and learned how to, watch this, if you need some help, get some help. Come on, that's a word of the Lord for somebody right there. If you need some help, get some help. There's no shame. There's no shame in that. Point number one of how to build trust, what we've been talking about. Keep your ears pressed against God's mouth. Keep your ears pressed against God's mouth. When you perceive your brook has dried up and your birds are no longer providing, that's not a time now to get over into anxiety. That's a time now to purposeful meditation, reflection. God, you got to talk to me. Come on, I need to hear what the next step is. Because watch this. I already know it's not your will for me to live in a dried up brook state and pass. So let me listen so I can hear what is the next step. Verse 10 goes on to say, so he, Elijah, went to Zarephath. Come on now, say it with me. He went. And he went to Zarephath. Watch this. He didn't go to Jerusalem. He didn't go to Jericho. He didn't go to where his boys were. He went to where God told him to go. As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? Here's point number two, building trust. Embrace what God says no matter what you think. Learn to embrace it. No matter what you think, embrace it. Get your heart around it. I know Elijah has some opinions about what God said. Let me slide over here a little bit. Anyone willing to be honest to say that you've had opinions about what God has said in your life before? It's just like, why it got to be like that? Why we got to do that? I'm sure Elijah has some opinions, but he learns this principle. Embrace what God says no matter what you may think. And listen, especially now in what the Lord Jesus Christ has come to provide for us, this thing called the church. He's given you church and watch this, spiritual leaders to be a safeguard for things, watch this, that you receive by the Spirit of God that you can then bring it to your spiritual leadership and say, hey, what do you think? What is God saying to you about this? This is what I think God is saying to me. It's a safeguard. Can we be candid? In the culture we live in today, everyone is their own pastor. In the culture we live in today, everyone's their own pastor. It's just like, well, just whatever the Spirit of God says to me. Well, that's good. That's good. You should listen to the Spirit of God. But this thing called the church is also there. That the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of God were involved in designing, creating, and structuring for a reason. And part of it is for our safety. I always tell people this all the time. If it is God, what God said to you, it'll stand the test. Your spiritual leadership and so forth, they'll acknowledge that. Yeah, that's God right there. But see, watch this. If it's something crazy, this is when people don't want to talk to somebody. Like, I'll give you an example. You know, one particular individual was just like, you know what? I believe the Lord, you know, has instructed me, you know, to divorce, you know, my wife and marry this other woman because I didn't marry into God's best and she's God's best for me. See, you didn't want to talk to nobody. You watch this. You knew you was wrong in the first place. But you spiritualized it because we have this culture now where we're our own particular pastors. I don't need to really hear from anyone else. And then we just go off and do silly stuff like that. And the individual did it too, which is very sad. We'll keep moving. Number three, promptly act on what God says before your mind poisons your faith in the revelation. Promptly act on what God says before your mind poisons. Listen. Our minds are going to start to speak. Right after God speaks, your mind going to start to get in there. If you don't act on things, you know, right away. Your mind will begin to say things like this from Elijah's standpoint. God, why couldn't you just send me to some rich man? God, why couldn't you just start the brook flowing again? God, why I had to travel from way over there at Corinth to now here at Zarephath? Man, I'm tired. Why you got to do all that? That's where your mind wants to go. But Elijah understood something. I'm just going to act on what God says promptly before my mind starts to poison my faith. Now, the key is to make sure that we learn how to continue to renew our mind so that we can keep our mind in line with what God says. But let's be clear. Until all things wrap up, your mind and my mind is going to continue to want to be a renegade that you have to keep under control. You have to, or your mind will take off into some outlandish places. Man, some of the things we're talking to someone over this past week, some of the things that are going on in our society today, I'll just be plain, just where, you know, kind of gender identity and things like that is concerned. 20 years ago, you would have never thought this. 20 years ago, you never thought it. See, your mind, if you don't want it, your mind would take off. It would go so far from God, it's not even funny. So you got to promptly act on what he says. Here's the fourth one. What I already touched on. Dismiss your cultural sensitivities when they contradict or conspire against your faith in what God has said. Jewish men, then and now, find it offensive to have to, like, subject themselves to a strange woman. Jewish men won't do that. That's why it's so amazing, even when Jesus is dealing with that Samaritan woman at the well. Jewish men just didn't do that. They didn't just start talking to random women like that. Not even close. And here, God says, okay, Elijah, your brook is dried up. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to Zarephath, and when you get there, I want you to locate this widow woman. Come on, not a Shunammite woman. Come on, you may have been able to take the Shunammite woman. You know, she married, she got wealth, you know, so forth. Okay, you know, she got a husband. All right, that's good there. No. This widow woman whose husband has died, I want you to go to her, and she's going to feed you. Now, that's culturally, that's a shock. But Elijah understands, I got to dismiss my cultural sensitivities and just line up with what God says. Because our cultural sensitivities will begin to pull us away from what God is trying to bring to pass in our lives. Come on, I'm going to mess with you a little bit. Just like some individuals, and I've seen this, you know, over the years, and praise God, prayerfully it doesn't happen as much, but I know it still happens. You know, someone, you know, will look up and be like, well, why are you dating that person of a different race? You know, we don't do that. See, your cultural sensitivity. And God is trying to say, no, it doesn't matter, you know, what their human, you know, race, you know, ethnicity is. It's what's going on the inside. And this is the one that I'm calling you to, whether that person might be black, white, green, purple, or polka dot. That's who I'm calling you to. Be free of your cultural sensitivities when God begins to speak. There's nothing wrong with having preferences. Maybe you like a certain type of person. That's fine. But when God speaks, put all that aside. Okay, I'll leave that alone. I see people wasn't too excited about that part right there. Thank you for that one amen over here. I did get it. I appreciate that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Notice what the word of God continues to say in verse 11. As she was going to get it, come on now, she's going to go get that water. He called to her, bring me a bite of bread too. But she said, I swear by the Lord. Come on, that's L-A-W-D. Your God, that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. And I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal. And then my son and I would die. Whew. Man, that's sad. Elijah asked her for some water. She's going to go get some water. We have no response from her, basically, from that request, other than the fact that she's just going to do it. But as she's going to do it, he says, now, what, even while you're doing that, get me some, you know, a cake, too, would you please? And all of a sudden now, this woman speaks up in Scripture. He's like, okay, you hit a little sensitive spot there. We broke. Okay. All right. I'm a widow. My husband, you know, gone. I ain't got no money. I ain't got nothing in the house. As a matter of fact, what little bit I have, I'm about to just cook that stuff up so, you know, my son and I can have a last meal and die. Interesting. Point number five. Always understand this. This is how God builds our trust in Him. That God's provision in our lives always involves others. You are never just kind of blessed in a vacuum or in isolation. God's provision always involves others. And He's trying to teach Elijah a lesson here. It always involves others. Elijah, you think I sent you here just for you? See, that's how we like to think. Like, oh, Lord, you prepared a widow woman for me. And God's like, Lord, have mercy, boy. Enlarging your thinking. It's not just about you. God's like, I got multiple people on my mind. Let's put it this way. I got billions of people on my mind. I'm not just thinking about you in South Florida. I'm thinking about some people, you know, in the Philippines right now. I'm thinking about, you know, people over there in Africa. I'm thinking about some people in Ukraine. I'm thinking about people all over the globe, and I can use one of you to touch many of them. You have to understand the provision always involves others. God will bless your company, your place of employment, just so He can keep a good resource going for you. You want to understand the significance of the relationship that you have with the Almighty. That God will do things for your heathen boss to make sure that you are getting what He wants you to have. God's provision in our lives, it always involves others. Always. You know, I like to play around with, you know, some stocks and different things of that nature. And I remember one particular gentleman I was talking to, he's like, always remember there's someone else on the other side of the trade. You know, so watch this. You made a nice investment and now you just sold it and made a nice income. Someone else bought it at the higher price from you. Watch this, because the provision, it always involves somebody else. Remember, Jesus said it this way, Luke chapter 6, verse 38. He's talking about give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. Shall people give into your life. Always involves others. So God is trying to help him understand this thing is not just about you. Verse 13 says, Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. Now, you know what? A whole bunch of people have left the church right then. They be like, I'll tell you what. See, this is why I don't go to church. This is why I don't do organized religion. That's the kind of stuff, you know, they said. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? That preacher rolled into town. The woman about to die. She gave up all hope. And he want her to feed him first. The woman just told you she don't have anything. And what do you say, preacher? Go do what you said. But make me a cake first. And then you and your son can eat what's left. What's wrong with you, preacher? They ain't got nothing left. Now, that's how a lot of people will respond. And that's why we got to make sure, again, we don't allow our feelings to drive us and lead us. Slow down. Let's find out what God is saying. Point number six is this. Ignore everything that is contrary to your faith in what God has said. Ignore everything that's contrary. This is the lesson, watch this, that Elijah was growing in, and now he's even demonstrating it and teaching it to this widow woman. Ignore the things that are contrary. there's always going to be a negative report. There's always going to be, you know, hateful people. There's always going to be people trying to work to your demise. Don't get moved by any of that. Stay fixed on what God has said. And he tells the woman, he says, look, don't be afraid. Fear, again, is what opens the door for the enemy to move in your life. Faith opens the door for the kingdom. Fear opens the door to darkness. So right in that moment, Elijah looks at this woman and says, don't be afraid. Why did he tell her not to be afraid? Because it was a temptation to be afraid. And he knew it. Just like, I get it. I know it looks bad right now, but don't be afraid. I don't think Elijah, matter of fact, I know in the beginning he didn't know what God was fully up to. I think as progressively goes along, he starts to, you know, capture things. But Elijah has enough sense to say, I just trust God. I'm just going to trust him. I may not really know the end of this. I just know that God is faithful here. So regardless of how you feel right now, God sent me to you for a reason. So don't be afraid. Go do what you just said, but make a little cake for me first. Ignore everything that is contrary to your faith in the revelation. Then, no matter how hopeless life may appear, fear not. Say it with me. I will not be afraid. Now, let's make sure we're clear on this, too. Afraid of what? Don't be afraid to do what God says. That's the context here. Don't be afraid to follow what he says. Even if other people are like, what's the purpose of that? Why you got to do that? You don't need all of that. Wait a minute. This is what God says. So therefore, I'm going to keep moving forward with him. Don't be afraid to do what God says, no matter how hopeless life may look. Number eight is this. Never underestimate the significance of your seed. Never underestimate the significance of it. God's trying to do something for the prophet, for the woman, for her son, and watch this, and for the land. And God says, watch this, yes, I could just come in and just watch this, just drop stuff from heaven. But that's not how God operates. God says, I have harvest for you, but it's attached to your seed. Elijah, I got harvest for you, but it's attached to your seed. His seed was the obedience of leaving that brook and coming now to Zarephath to that widow woman. Now God is setting up the woman for some harvest. It says, now you want to be able to get in on this harvest, you're going to have to sow some seed. And God says, watch this, I'm fair. You only need to sow what you got. God doesn't ask us to sow what we don't have. He's not asking her to sow, you know, like go borrow something in this case from a neighbor. Didn't do that. Just simply says, you know, just from what you have. The itty bitty that she had that she was ready to die off of. God says, you got something powerful there. See, you think it's just enough left for you to die. God says, that's just more than enough for me to bless your life. Never underestimate the significance of your seed. This is the lesson that God is teaching now. Elijah, the woman, and watch this, that young boy is getting a nice lesson in all this too. Because certainly if his mother was to that point, he knew that things weren't good as well. Come on, if mom is hungry like that, then that young boy is probably hungry too. But it begs the question still though, why? God, why you got to go through all this? He's trying to help them build trust in him in uncertain times. You all remember the cliche proverb that goes, if you give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. But if you teach him to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime. See, I got news for you. That's all God. That's God's character. That's all taken from God. This is what God is doing here. It's just like, yeah, I could just open up a window in heaven, a literal window in heaven, and drop you down everything that you need. He says, but once you eat that, you're gonna be in trouble again. He says, but here, I'm gonna teach you something. I'm gonna teach you something that will impact your life for generations to come. He says, take your seed, bring it to me and trust me with it, and watch how I'm able to breathe on things for you. Oh, boy. Oh, our God is good. Come on. He's trying to build some trust in them in these uncertain times. And then verse 14 goes on to say, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. She did as Elijah said. And she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. I said, she, Elijah, and her family continued to eat for many days. Matter of fact, you look at this, the many days really equates to about a full year. Here it is now, let's just say a year ago, she's ready to give up. She's ready to give up. Man, we're in a pandemic, whatever the case is. This just doesn't make any sense. I don't know how I'm going to make it. But then she uses her seed. She trusts God. And now the very thing that she thought was going to run out continued to be a resource to her and her son. And now watch this, a grown man in there too, eating for a full year. Never underestimate the significance of your seed. Number 16, there was always enough flour and oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. There's always enough. Someone say it with me, there's always enough. There's always enough provision. There's always enough healing. There's always enough wisdom. There's always enough direction. There's always enough with God when we continue to trust him. One resource may dry up. That's okay. Because the God that we serve is our source. That's where I rest upon. That's where I put my trust in. My source, not the resource. Come on, resources may come and go. Hold on to your source, which is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Here's the last point in building the trust. Just do it. No, really, just do it. No, just do it. Come on, Nike, they got it right years ago. Just do it. Huh? You do all that mental consternation, I don't know, and what are they going to think, and what if it doesn't work? If it doesn't work, get up and try again. Amen. Just do it. So just like what some of you are right now, just do it. Come on, just finish the book. You started it, now finish it. Come on, just open the business. Come on, just start investing. Come on, just go ahead and get yourself a new house if that's what you believe God is blessing. Come on, just do it. So I had to come to this, you know, in December of 2020, because for about 5 years before, the Lord had dealt with me about going back to finish my Master's of Divinity. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And then stuff starts to happen. Stuff started to happen, and it poisoned the revelation in my mind. And I didn't do it. So now here, December, actually before December, I'd say even about August of 2020, we were right in the heart of the pandemic. We running around with a chicken with our head cut off trying to figure out how we going to keep worshiping God together. Trust me, it was interesting. And I'm just like, Lord's dealing. He's like, you need to do this. I'm just like, yeah. And I start to investigate, start to look at some things. You know how that is. You know, you kind of partially obey. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? You partially, you kind of start it, but you don't finish it. Mm-hmm. You know, but you feel good that you started, and you're like, see, God, well, I did research. He's like, I ain't tell you to research, I tell you to go back and finish. So, okay. So finally we get to December, and the Lord's just like, what are you doing? I was like, huh? It's like, well, you need to get back and finish. Okay, God, let me run the numbers. I didn't ask you to run the numbers. Just do it. Leave the numbers to me. okay. Well, long story short, a few weeks later, I found myself in class. and it's been a tremendous experience. I'm like, what, on about a year and a half in, still got a little bit more to finish. I'll let y'all know, but I'm enjoying it. I'm absolutely enjoying it. It's been a tremendous, you know, process. Just do it, though. What is that thing for you? Just do it. Maybe it's a matter of apologizing to someone. Just do it. You can't sit back and just vacillate. You get God's word, just act on it. Come on, everyone lift up holy hands with me unto Almighty God. Let's make this confession out loud together. Father God, thank you again for loving me. Thank you for bringing me into relationship with you. That's what I boast on. The fact that I know you, I know your goodness, your unfailing love. So I purpose today that I will trust you in these uncertain and unstable times. I trust you as my source. Thank you for the many resources, but it's on you as my source that I rely. Help me, Daddy, to continue to build greater confidence, greater trust, greater faith in you and what you do. And help me to pass it on to the next generation and the generations after that, so that collectively a nation can grow in faith in you. We thank you for this. Thank you for always providing for us. Thank you that our supply never runs dry. If a brook does dry up, you got a whole new resource for us. We thank you for it, and we love you in Jesus' name. Somebody shout glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Most High God. Thank you, Lord God. We trust you, Daddy. We trust your word. Regardless of how we may feel and how things may look, we just will obey you. Hallelujah. Every head bowed still, please. Every eye closed just for a minute. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Listen, you heard what the opening passage, you know, shared. You may be very wise. You may be very rich. You may be very powerful. You may be very a lot of things. And that is great. But if you're going to boast and hang your hat on anything in life, let it be on this and this alone, that you know God. And you know his unfailing love for your life. Now listen, if you don't know that, if you can't say that with, you know, confidence and assurance on today, then I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you. I want you to enter over into the next few moments into a glorious relationship with Almighty God. Come on now, you're taking a step. You're stepping from your own independence and to step right now over into his provision for your life and being in relationship with him. So if that's you, present or watching, you know, online, you can't say that with surety in your heart. Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. Now, here's what we're going to do. I'm just going to ask everyone to just join in. Let's be in agreement together. Everyone, say this out loud with me. Father God, thank you again for your amazing love, for giving to me your absolute best. Your son, Jesus, who lived for me, who died for me, who rose for me. Today, Jesus, I embrace you as my master, as my Lord, as my Savior, as my King, as my everything. Thank you for making me your own. Amen and amen. Come on, somebody just rejoice right there for a moment. Glory to God in the highest. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, that's not the finish point. That's the starting point. That's where you start, in relationship. Now, you may not feel, you know, one bit different than you did 2 minutes ago. Doesn't matter how you feel. It matters now about the commitment that you've made. And watch this. And I know the commitment that your good Father has made to you. So relish that commitment. Relish that connection And regardless of how you may feel in the days to come, continue to come back to this place that you are right here now, that I surrender all unto God. Now listen, if you have prayed that prayer with us out of the sincerity of your heart for the very first time, you made a connection like that with God, do this for us. You'll see it come up on the screen there. Text the word decided to the number that you see on the screen, or type it in the chat, or watch this. You can just raise your hand. And what it will do is, one, it'll allow us to be able to pray for you. And then two, it'll also allow us to send you an electronic link to a devotional that I believe will be a blessing to you. It's called A Fresh Start, just to help you get going. If you're here present and you'd like to get a hold of one of those as you're exiting, just be sure to ask one of our leaders. They'd be glad to put one into your hands, because God absolutely loves you. And watch this, and so do we. Amen. Glory to God. Absolutely. God is good. So let's continue to build trust in him. He's a good, good father. Father, now we lift up our hands in adoration once again unto you. Thank you for giving us this time together. May your blessing, your peace, your shalom rest mightily upon every family that is present, every family that is connected online. Father, may this be a week like none other, that we grow in our trust with you, and that we boast in the one thing, Father, that means anything, and that is knowing you. Thank you for this now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Have an amazing week. We'll see you next Sunday.